seen it before. Some of you might not have, but I was just going to get Aidan to show it for us. It'll be really cool. It's a blind audition tape, as the voice works, from Sister Christina Scutia, S-C-U-C-C-I-A. So if you pronounce it well enough and confidently, people don't think you're saying it wrong, it's okay. Scutia. And she actually won last year, 2014, Italy The Voice. So it's really, really cool. Now, she is a real nun and still is a real nun. And obviously, she brought her sisters with her to help the moment out. And it's a great clip, because you don't know, the whole concept of The Voice is that you don't judge a book by its cover, that you just hear the voice first and then you think, oh, who could be singing that? And then obviously when they buzzed in, whatever that sort of stuff happened, they turned around and saw a nun sing. They didn't expect that, did they? The fact is that they even laughed and encouraged the other ones to turn around. It's a really cool thing, because obviously they were expecting something else. They didn't expect a nun to be doing this. They didn't expect a sister to be doing this. They expected someone else to be doing that. And so that whole TV show is based on the premise of you can't judge a book by its cover. But unfortunately, we do it every day in our life, don't we? We do it when we meet someone or we haven't met someone for a long time. We wonder what they're up to. Now, and I have been just as guilty of doing this all the time. When I first started in my chaplaincy job, so I work here at the church, but also work as a chaplain at a local high school, I was dealing with a student who had been involved in a bit of a bikie gang. And so the student was always telling me of what his dad got up to on the weekend and how he was always in trouble. And, you know, I thought, it's okay, I don't have to deal with your dad. I'm just dealing with you, it's okay. And to paint a bit of a picture, like, I had in my mind, this guy was going to be as big as me, but muscles instead of whatever I've got, and then tattoos everywhere. And so I had that picture in my mind of what he was going to be like, because all the scary stuff that he was telling me got into. Now, obviously, this student was in a bit of trouble every now and again, and one particular time, they had to call the parents in. And usually I don't deal with the parents, I just deal with the students, which is great. But the parent actually wanted to have a meeting with me. I thought, oh, hang about, do I really want to meet this? Do I really want to do this? I said, yeah, okay. And he wanted to meet to see if the school was being fair on the student or not. And so I can be the bit of the go-between guy. So I had planned, I said, yeah, it's okay, come in and meet with me. I've got a big office. I'll make sure I have someone else there in case you kill me. And then it'll be okay. It'll be all right. And so, lo and behold, the time came to meet this guy. And the office, so the meeting was set at like 10 o'clock in the morning. At 9:30, I said, I'll prepare myself. I'll look at my notes and see what he wants to talk about and go from there. And so, 9:45 came. The office lady said, oh, your meeting, your 10 o'clock meeting's here. We'll come down and get him. So, it's a fair way to, it's about 50 metres between my corridor and the office, and you go through a bit of a dog leg. And so through that bit of a walk, obviously we get our bit of our judgmental heads in, thoughts in our heads and think, what's this guy going to look like? You know, I haven't even talked to him. I've just heard what he's going to be like from the student and what his dad and what he's talked about. And so I didn't know what he was going to look like. So I had this picture in my head, as I said, big guy. I get to the desk, I turn around, and there's this 5 foot nothing guy, skinny as anything, but still wearing the bikey leathers. Oh. And he came to greet me, and he had the highest pitched voice I'd ever heard. And his name, his nickname in the group was Mouse. I found that out afterwards. But beforehand, so here I am picturing this big guy, muscles, everything, and here's this 5 foot nothing guy, skinny as, with a high pitched voice. And so it was a really good bloke. I talked to him about what was going on. He said, yeah, he deserves to get into trouble. So let's teach him a lesson. Let's do this sort of stuff there. So he got into trouble, and I was, you know, not friends with the dads or anything like that, but he'd always call up and say, okay, little Johnny, how's he doing today? Yeah, he's doing fine, stuff like that. Probably got him with a teacher. He just had to run in with that teacher all the time. But I had this misconception in my head about what he was going to look like. And we do that all the time with people around us and situations. Whether we know it or not, we make judgments all the time. There was an incident of a guy who was a pastor, and his name was Bishop Potter. He was sailing through Europe in one of those cruise lines from America to Europe back in the 60s sort of stuff there. And so it was one of those ways where it took a long time, and they had to share cabins with other people. And so he got to his cabin, and he found out that he was sharing a cabin with someone else. And so he looked at the guy, said, oh, I don't know if I trust him. So the pastor went up to the captain of the ship and said, you know, look, guys, I don't trust the guy who I'm going to be sharing a cabin with. Can I put all my valuables in there with you? And the guy said, yes, yes, but the person in the same room as you has done the same about you. So the person who was in the same room thought the pastor was a bit of a dodgy looking guy, and asked him to share his valuables in the safe as well. So the person accepted the responsibility, and then had two people, who one was a pastor and one was a businessman, thought the other person was too dodgy and didn't want to keep their valuables in the same room as the other person. And so again, it's one of those stories where we think everyone gets caught up in judging each other. Our first judgments count, our second judgments count. Regardless of whether we know it all at the same time, we judge people on what they think. And so we get caught up in it all the time. We get caught up in judging our friends. We get caught up in judging the people we don't know. We get caught up in judging different people in different situations. And so I want to address this topic now because, as I said, it's been sort of creeping in a little bit, youth and young adults, but it also creeps in society a lot. And outside of the community in here, in our workplace, in our school place, in our university place, wherever it happens a lot. And so I know working in a school, in a public school, some of the teachers will do it too. And so it changes from being a high school problem to a problem that sort of doesn't end. But it happens on a different level. And so we often think, oh, judgment. And I was talking to some of the noughts and crosses, the year 70, year 12 kids this morning, the youth this morning, and I said, yeah, no, for girls on out of uniform day, it was really hard to try and work out what you had to wear because, you know, you spend a long time because, you know, every day you'd be okay because you wear the same thing. But when it comes to out of uniform day, you have to spend half an hour deciding what you're going to wear because the thought was, am I going to get judged? And even if you're not going to get judged, the thought is in your mind, are they going to judge me? Am I going to be like this? What if I wear the same thing as my friend wears? And you know, guys have those thoughts as well, but we just think, ah, well, who cares? We'll just put on the same track as we wore 3 days ago. It's okay. But the girls have this sort of problem. And so the judgmental sort of stuff happens at high school, but it happens all the way through life as well. We have those same feelings as well. The feelings of whether we are going to get judged. And that stems from times in our lives when we have been judged. When we have been judged harshly. And we've been judged by the people that are important to us. By our friends, by our peers, by our parents, by the people we work with. We get judged. And so I wanted to look at some passages tonight to work out, as us who go to church and as Christians, how we can deal with it. And how we can look into it, because we are supposed to be above that. We're not supposed to get into those little traps. So the first passage I want to look at, I can get Aiden to stick it up on the screen again, it'd be really cool. Comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. And you've probably read this all a few times before. So Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you even say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see or clearly remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, this is one of those verses we've heard lots of times before. I know we've done small studies on it. We've heard it when we were a little kid. But let's delve into it a little bit further. And it's always good to have a refresher every now and again with this sort of stuff. See, this is arguably part of one of those best sermons ever told. So I think it was the Sermon on the Mount, and there's still argument to say whether Jesus was talking to the masses or whether he was just talking to his disciples. But the picture is that Jesus was climbing up a mountain, climbing up, walking with his disciples, and all of a sudden he saw these crowds coming there, and he gathered his disciples around, and he sat them down and started talking. And so whether it was intended for just the 12 or whether it was intended for everyone, we still don't know. But you know that this was a time when people were supposed to listen to him, because he'd done that. It was a purposeful thing when he was teaching about very important stuff. So already, before he gets to this text, he's already been talking about prayer. He's already been talking about fasting. He's already talked about giving to the needy, telling everyone how not to worry, but to address it. Now he addresses something special. He addresses something important. Not that those other things were important. I'm just saying it's part of a really important part that he just wanted to address. He's saying, these are the things going wrong in today's society. Let's address them. Let's address giving to the needy. Let's address giving to the poor. Let's address fasting. Let's address prayer. But now, let's address judgment, because we do judge each other. So it was a problem back then, and it's a problem now. See, back then, people thought they had the right to judge people. Back then, they thought, you know, if someone was doing something wrong, they could easily just go up to the priest, and the priest would say, okay, let's get the two guys together. Let's get the people together and talk about this. And so there was no real ethical, there was no real, you know, thing to find out. They would say, okay, I've got a problem with Ben. I'm not too sure if I like him that much, so I'm going to say he stole from me. And so he'd get in front of the court, and sometimes it'd be in public and sometimes it'd be in private with just a priest. But sometimes, you know, they'd ask everyone else. So they'd say, okay, I'd tell my side of the story and Ben would tell his side of the story. They wouldn't get other witnesses and they wouldn't get anything else. Usually it'd just be us telling the story. And so there, people have to make a comment on how it was going to work out. Whether they thought I was an upstanding gentleman or not, or whether they thought Ben was better than I was, they work out what had happened. And so there was a lot of judgment happening already in the society then. It wasn't like the system we've got today, where lots of courts or lots of anything else, and evidence was provided, and, you know, cases go over 2 or 3 days. A lot of things happen on the spot. So it was a different time. So this was a time when the religious, they didn't like someone, they would often use it in their advantage. They would say, okay, I'm a priest, I'm a high person, I go to church every week, people look up to me, but if I didn't like this other person, hey, look, I can accuse him of something. And so I'll let the people judge him, because that's what they like. Because they know I'm a good person, they know I'm an upright person. Even though this other person hasn't done anything right, they know what I've done, they know what I'm like, so they're going to judge the other person harshly. And so that's what they did back then. See, judging others was rife throughout the society. So Jesus addresses it in this monumentous way in front of all these people. So the first thing he says, don't judge others because others are going to judge you. Which is pretty straightforward, but we see it all the time as well. It's just stating it. It says, hey, look, you know, if you judge others, expect to be judged yourself. Expect to be painted with the same brush that you paint everything else with. Because we think that, I'm not going to judge others. But we do. And others judge us. If you judge others harshly, you're going to be judged harshly as well. People would have been thinking, it's okay, I don't really judge that much. But in real sense, we do. We do it without even meaning sometimes, and I'll touch on that a little bit later. He goes further to say, if you see faults in other people's eyes, if you see faults in other people's lives, look at your own life first. Look, you're not a perfect person. You're not little Miss Perfect, like they say in the book, and you don't do everything right. You've got to look in other people's and say, okay, if I'm going to point out a flaw, I've first got to look at, okay, how do I see myself in that? Do I do that? Am I guilty of doing that same thing that I'm accusing the other person of? So often, we are, because we do it in a different way. We're saying, oh, don't gossip, don't speak nice about that, about the other person, when all along, we often gossip about other people as well. Or don't be mean to that person, don't pick on that person when we may be mean to someone else. Or even being ourselves, a bit of self-righteousness to say, okay, I do this, so you shouldn't do that. And we're in other areas of our lives, we do that as well. So we've got to look at our own lives and think, okay, where am I falling short before I can accuse someone else of falling short? Where can I look at the things in my life, in my personal life? Because I can guarantee you, me included, that I haven't got everything worked out. And I stuff up just as much as everyone else does. And so I too have to look at this and think, okay, am I being judgmental? Do I judge other people? I've got to look at that in my own life. And I know, as I said, it's been a little bit creeping into this community of weights and stuff like that. And I know that people have felt judged and that sort of thing. So if you have felt judged by something I've said or done, or by something, the environment or the culture here, we apologize for that. Because that's not what it's about. That's not what we stand for here as a church or as Christians, to be judgmental. It's something that happens, we don't realize it's happening, but it does happen. So we have to apologize for that. We have to say, sorry if you do feel like that. And I do apologize sincerely. So if you have felt that, look, I'm sorry for that. We all have to be quick to judge, not quick to judge, but we have to be quick to listen. Because so often it's the other way around. We are quick to judge and not to listen. We will often jump to conclusions about things without even listening to the other side of the story, which is so often the case, because we want to form an opinion. Well, we don't want to spend the time listening to the other side of the story. There's a great story from Chuck Swindoll, who's a famous speaker. And he was at a California Christian camp once. And the first day there, a man approached him and he said how greatly he looked forward to hearing him speak. And was finally able to realize this dream that he had. So that evening, Chuck Swindoll walked up to the platform and he saw the guy and he was falling asleep after about 15, 20 minutes. And he said, well, it's okay. He must have had a long drive to get there and couldn't help himself. But the same thing happened the next couple of nights. And Dr. Swindoll found with frustration over the same guy coming in and falling asleep after the 15, 20 minutes. On the last night, the man's wife came up and apologized for her husband's inattention to the messages. She explained that he had terminal cancer and the medication he was easing the pain but made him extremely sleepy. But it had said that it was one of his long-time ambitions to hear Dr. Swindoll speak before he died, and now he fulfilled that goal. So he was one of the great preachers getting frustrated because this guy was falling asleep. I was going to say something to him, but then after speaking to the wife, realized he didn't have the whole story and didn't see it from the other side of the coin. And so often we do that as well. So often we do that. We just jump to conclusions without knowing the other side of the story. We just jump to the other side of things and think, okay, we've got a judgment here, but we don't see the other side of the coin. See, I deal with students all the time at school, and most of them swear like there's no tomorrow. And you can tell them, okay, don't swear. But then when you hear their parents talk, they swear just as bad as the kids do. And so you think, ah, okay, you know, you're putting up with this environment at home. I'm going to be a little bit less light and leaning it more on you because, you know, you have to put up with this sort of thing. And we have those situations in our lives all the time. When we make an initial judgment and we don't find out till afterwards, there's a proper story behind it. Now, the problem is we often don't find out the proper reason behind it. Not many people come up to us and say, hey, I know you got a problem with me, but this is a real story behind it. They don't do that. And so we're talking a little bit about that next week and how we deal with that sort of stuff. But we have to label it here. Because so often, people won't tell us the grievances we have. We just go behind each other's back and talk about it that way. There's another form of judgment that is a little less obvious but still happens. And I want to chuck it up in another Bible passage here. It says, from Luke 18:9-14. To some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so now we're talking about a bit of a self-righteousness thing here. The tax collector, who is considered the scum of the earth, the very bottom of the religious food chain, is all of a sudden put up the top. And the Pharisee, who is a religious nutter, and is helping out and wanted to do all this sort of stuff there, beating his breast, is put down to the bottom. He didn't humble himself. He's saying, look at me. Now, I'm not saying that we are like that. I know there are situations where you have seen that amongst us. But we do it in a different way. See, if we harp on about ourselves too much, others around us start to feel judged. Others around us start to compare themselves to what we do. And comparison is rife amongst us. As I said, that's something that happens no matter what age group you do. I'm not as good as a singer as Amy. I'm not as good as a piano player as Matt. I'm not as good as clowning as Ben, even though I taught him stuff. He's gone bigger than what I am now. You know, I'm not as good as that. We compare ourselves all the time. So if we're talking about ourselves all the time, other people feel judged. We've got to get to know people's stories. We have to get to know other people and who they are about. An example of that is, if I harped on about how bad I think smoking is, and I think, okay, I'm not going to smoke. It's okay if other people smoke, but I'm not going to waste my money on that sort of stuff there, and I'm not going to do this, and smoking's bad. It causes this much cancer. And I don't care what you do, but obviously the other person's going to think, well, I smoke. How's Chris going to think about that? Even though I've said that it's not a thing, it's okay, but how does he really, if he's that bad against it, I'm going to feel a bit judged when I do that around him. I'm going to feel a bit uneasy if I do that, if I even bring it up about him, around him. So we do that, that's a sort of judging without even knowing about it. We do that. If we harp on about what we think and what we know too much without hearing what other people's thoughts are, it's painting the same brush. It makes people feel judged and condemned. And I said, this is something that happens in everyday society. And unfortunately, it happens around here as well. So we have to be Christians. We have to be stand up against this sort of stuff. We have to get to know people, get to know other people, get to know people's stories, get to know the reasons behind their beliefs. Share with us as we share with you. So it's all about telling people about your views, but it's all about hearing their views. So, okay, we might have a different opinion here, but let's work it out. Why do you believe that? Why do I believe this? That's hard to do. Like, I've been married for 11 years now, and I still have to do it with my wife every now and again, you know? But it's hard. It's good to do that. And as I said, when we're talking about judging, we often see, this person's doing wrong, but we so rarely see the stuff that we do ourselves. And so I wanted to spend some time thinking about that and looking at that. Because we all know how it feels like to be judged. And it's not good. And Jesus knows how it feels like to be judged. He was mocked and persecuted as well. But as Christians, we have something better. As believers in Jesus, we've got a better lifestyle to uphold. It's hard and it's tough. But it's something we can work at together. It's that thing we can open up and say, okay, let's. How do we do this? In our small groups, when we're talking with our friends, and say, hey, do you ever see me being judgmental? Do you see me doing that? Tell me. When I do that, please tell me. Pull me aside and say, hey, Chris, you're being a tool again. Tell me that. It's okay. But if we do that, we need to be doing that with each other. You know? Because so often in our lives, we don't see it. We don't see that we're judging each other. We need a bit of a wake-up call every now and again to say, okay, we need to stop judging each other. So after tonight, have a look at those passages again. The one in Matthew, the one in Luke. I don't remember where the other one was. Remember those Matthew and Luke and see again, look at them and think, okay, where in my life have I been guilty of judging people? Where have I been a bit self-righteous? Where have I pointed out flaws when I haven't looked in my own life? Let's bring this to God and see what he can say. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your sacrifice to us. We really do. We thank you that you look upon our lives and don't judge us. The flawed people that we are, the mistakes that we make, you still don't judge us. Lord, every now and again, we fall into these traps of hurting people and judging people. And Lord, most of the time we don't intend to do it, but sometimes we do. So Lord, just give us the encouragement to look where in our lives we do this. Lord, help us to be an example of you. If we see judgment, we can stand up for it against it. If we see areas in our life, we can work towards it. Lord, we know it's tough, but you're going to be with us. You're going to be helping us. As a community, we can be something that we can work on together. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.